You're listening to Syntax, the podcast with the tastiest web development treats out there. Strap yourself in and get ready. Here is Scott Tolinsky and Wes Boss.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Syntax. We are the podcast with the tastiest web development treats. Today, we're talking all about specialization versus generalization. I get questions about this all the time. People who are either in their job for a while and they feel like they're not really good at one thing, and people who are brand new to web development, they don't really know what to focus on. Should I get good at absolutely everything, or should I just get good at absolutely just like one thing? So we're going to try to unpack that and give our thoughts as to what you should do. Today's episode is sponsored by two awesome companies, FreshBooks, which is going to help you do all of your cloud accounting, all of your expenses, all of your inputs, all of your outputs, everything that has to do with running a business, and DevLifts, which is going to get you fit. So if you are a developer and you are looking to get strong or lose some weight or just kind of get tuned in mentally because you want to be totally focused, then DevLifts is going to help you out with that. We'll talk about both of those companies partway through this episode. Hello, Scott. How are you doing today?
Hey, hello to you as well, Wes. I'm doing pretty good. Hey, we have some fantastic news, which is finally public, that we can start sharing with people. Syntax Live is going to be happening. Yeah, I know. I know. And the funny thing is that we've known about this for a good amount of time now. And people have been like
you 4 months. Yeah.
People have been like, you should do a live show. I mean, we've gotten that a few times and we just wanted to be like, we are. But now we can announce it that we're officially doing a live show at the Jamstack Conf, San Francisco, October 30th, I believe, is when we're speaking. The conf is the 29th and the 30th. It's going to be a blast. We're going to do Syntax Live on stage, and I think we're going to try to make it pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm so excited for it because some people thought that we were, I didn't even tell you this, Scott. Some people thought that we were in the same room when we recorded, but I have never met Scott. We're on webcam twice a week to do this, and we chat almost every day in chat, but I've actually never met him in person. So I'm really excited about this kind of live. I think it's going to have really good energy. And there's a whole bunch of other really good speakers as well. There's Scott Tolinsky, founder of Level Up Tutorials. West Boss founder. That's the thing about having like a business that is kind of this thing that it's just yourself. Founder of West Boss Enterprises.
Yep.
So they just put founder of Syntax. Chris Coyer, Jessica Lord, Quincy Larson, who's from Free Code Camp, Monica, let's butcher her last name, Dinculescu, Dinculescu.
I'm sorry, Monica. I'm so sorry.
Dinculescu. Oh, terrible. I wish I knew how to pronounce things. But it's there's more speakers going to be announced very, very soon as well. So check out jamstackconf.com if you want to meet up with Scott and I in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's going to be sweet. It's funny because we're not often even in the same country, let alone the same room. So yeah, this is hilarious. It's going to be a blast. I'm really excited about it. And now that we can start talking about it, I'm pumped. I'm glad it's out there. So this episode, we're going to be diving into this whole specialization versus generalization, jack of all trades, master of none sort of stuff. Well, I think you wanted to kick it off here with a little bit of a message that you received from just a general question.
Just someone sent me a DM on Twitter, which sometimes I read them. I probably have like 400 DMs right now. I get so many, and every now and then I'll just dip into the stream and see what people are saying and try to get to as many as I possibly can. And this is one that I got was, I've been struggling with deciding, should I aim to be full stack, front end, or back end? Are there any drawbacks or benefits? And this is a question I get all the time from people being like, I don't really know what to focus on. So we're going to attempt to tackle that and answer that question for you. So let's talk about like, what is a specialist and what is a generalist? I like to think of a specialist as someone who is very good at one or two things, who are sort of considered experts in a specific area of something. And we'll talk about this whole full stack versus front end in a bit, because I think even inside of both of those, you can really unpack full stack and front end and back end. So some examples of someone who is a dev that does just Drupal. They are a Drupal specialist. They will build Drupal extensions. They'll build Drupal sites. They'll have all of the ideas about performance. They'll probably speak at conferences. And anytime that somebody needs to hire a Drupal developer or someone needs to write a book about Drupal, they are the person that is going to be contacted about that.
Yeah, that is, I mean, that is the specialist. And what it is just that you're very, very, very good at one thing. And that one thing is, you know, largely what you become known for. And if you become known for it, then again, your name's going to come up in all these sort of situations, right? And this makes you very hireable for especially like big dollar contract work where someone says, shoot, we have a problem with this Drupal site and we don't have anyone to fix it. But we know this guy who is very, very good at Drupal, and we're going to reach out to him. And maybe he or she like knows how to solve this problem, or maybe he or she knows a person that can solve this problem as well, right? Maybe they know another expert in this situation, and therefore they can reach out to them and put you in touch with somebody who is a master at this work. And so, again, these are for very high dollar moments. And Wes has it listed as high dollar moments. one time we had a client who was like a big, big client, right? And it was a small agency and they wanted search, right? And this is before some services existed that really made it easy. And if you were going to be doing like very high end search, you really needed a specialist in this sort of thing. But in particular, They had chosen this Google box. It was sort of the Gavin Belson signature edition. You know, it was the Google the box, right? And at the time, without the phallic logo, but at the time there was like, yeah, you needed to be an expert in this Google box. And this Google box, they bought it and they did all this stuff without even telling us. They were just like, oh, it's Google. It's the Google box. We got to have this Google box. And all of a sudden we were like, well, how the heck do we connect this to our system? How do we get this thing working or whatever? And we found a specialist and she killed it but she just went through, she nailed this thing for us. And it was a big, big money contract. She picked up a nice hefty payday because she was the only person who had that experience that we could get a hold of, the only person that had that experience that could do the job for us. And because of that, she was the master. She got paid.
Yeah, being a specialist can be very lucrative and very comfortable if you have taken the time to be well-known in your industry and person. So I got a couple examples here. In where I live downtown Hamilton, every single house has the exact same, I think it's like oak strip floors where it's like this corner sawn oak and they all have the same like little detail inlay. Every corner has these like little kind of like square details. It's so, so nice. And every single house has it. And everyone gets their floors refinished because they're like 100 years old. They're pretty beat up, but they've been covered with carpet for most of their life. So you can pull them up and get your floors refinished. And you talk to anybody downtown and they say, get Malcolm. And everyone says, call Malcolm. And if you even just Google Malcolm the floor guy, because like I'm just like, who's Malcolm? And if you just Google Malcolm the floor guy, it's this one guy and he has just a truck with a whole bunch of sanders in it, and he knows these floors cold, and he's booked 6 months out in advance, and he just kind of like lives his life making good money sanding and restoring these exact type of floors. Everyone knows to hire Malcolm, right? It's a perfect example of specializing it in it. And he says on his truck, it says, we don't do repairs. And I also remember this. This is another aside, but Tihan Lax, which used to be a really well-known design agency here in Toronto, they all went to Facebook a couple of years ago, but they used to have a website and said, we don't do this. We don't do search engine optimization. We don't do. And I love that idea of having a we don't list instead of a we do list, because it really shows the person that we are really good at doing like interface design or refinishing hardware floors, and you're going to hire us because that's exactly what you need. If you need someone to repair your floor, go find someone else.
Yeah. I mean, there is something to be said about the person who is very good at saying no. I mean, the person who says no to things is the person who's in control of their stuff. I mean, that's a big thing in our world as freelancers, is knowing when to say no to a job, but also like when to know that you aren't the right person for the job. It's a sign of maturity. It's a sign of like control over your mastery and all sorts of stuff like that. So again, that we don't do this sort of thing is extremely, I don't know, it's very nice to see, because so many times people want to fake the funk and try to do everything, and you can't necessarily do that. Now, another way that a specialist can be like very, very useful is in something like a code review, especially if you want your devs to get like the best advice from somebody who's like a master at somebody. You're going to find somebody who only does React and does React very well to do your, to check out your front end code and maybe give you a, here's how to improve, here's how to go. And then that turns into like a training situation. And so these code reviews, I mean, you're essentially get paid to not write any code necessarily. You're just looking at other people's code, making recommendations and that sort of thing. And that seems like a pretty sweet gig, right? I mean,
yeah,
you are sort of the Gordon Ramsay of someone else's code, and you can just come in there and tune it up and show them how to make the perfect cheeseburger or something.
I actually just had one of these gigs about a couple of weeks ago. Somebody was trying to buy a company, and part of their vetting process to buy that company was to have the code base reviewed to make sure by a third party, make sure that it was quality and things like that. And it was a React and GraphQL code base. And I got, somebody was like, go talk to Wes, because he will review that code base for you, because he knows both React and GraphQL. So I took, I don't know, 4 hours or so, and I just read over the code base and looked at all the patterns and stuff like that. And it was a very fun job to do, because I just got to like read other people's code and understand how it worked, and then explain that and convey that in a way to the stakeholders of, is it good? Is it scalable? Is it something that's going to, is it something that's going to run? How expensive would it be to hire somebody at this level? Like, it was a fairly advanced code base. So I had to tell them like, okay, like you would have to hire someone like me for this, and that would cost X dollars a year. Or if you were to hire someone like that, it would be X dollars an hour. So it's kind of an interesting way to go in via specialist. Anything else to say about specialist? Should we go into generalist?
No, I think that, yeah, and along that same line, I got hired to do a technical review for a book, which probably was even easier than that, because all I had to do was read a book, and it was a book I might have been interested in reading anyways. And I just got to make sure they didn't make any technical mistakes, look at the code, whatever, and their examples. And it was really nice. It was a nice thing, because, yeah, it's like getting paid to read something that just further solidifies some of your knowledge in a general area. So next we have the generalist. So we've gone over the specialist. Now let's talk about the generalist, the jack of all trades. The dev who wants to do it all and know it all and just be, you know, master of many domains rather than just one singular domain. This person essentially somebody who's not only just going to learn Drupal, or maybe even Drupal and WordPress, because those are pretty similar, but they're going to learn Drupal, they're going to learn WordPress, they're going to learn Django, they're going to learn Rails, and they're going to try to do all these different things. And they're going to just say that, oh, yeah, I can. That's what you're building the site in. I can build in that. Right.
Yeah, if I saw somebody had a resume and they had like 5 or 6 different languages on it, and every framework under the sun listed on it, and all that stuff, that would raise an eyebrow from me for sure, because I would know that, okay, this person, unless they're an absolute genius, they likely do not have, like, they're not proficient in all of these languages and all of these frameworks and know the ins and outs and stuff like that. So that's kind of, I think, what a generalist is in one way. I think another way that you can look at a generalist is someone who focuses on like a language, but not necessarily a specific area. So I think you could be just a JavaScript developer who can code up a back end and a front end. And I don't know if you necessarily, this is kind of where I'm at right now. And I am what I call a full stack developer. I will code up the back end, no problem. I can code up the front end. I can write all the CSS that's associated with it, sort of tip to tail. I can do the whole thing. But I don't necessarily think that's a generalist, or maybe it is considered a JavaScript generalist, but I would be very, very lost if you threw me into the back end of a Python application, or you're trying to throw me in. Like, somebody was asking, like, when is a machine learning course coming? And I was like, brother, That is so far outside of my wheelhouse. I know nothing about that. And it's not anything that I really have interest in. So I don't know. What are your thoughts? Like, would you think of someone, you're kind of in a similar spot. Would you say yourself as a generalist or a specialist?
Yeah, I'm probably a bit more of a generalist than I would like to be. But again, all the skills are related. I find myself having a hard time not wanting to do things like, oh, there's a new design that needs to be done. I'll do it. Like, oh, I should probably just hire somebody out for that. But yeah, again, I mean, if you are the generalist, you know, there's going to be more jobs available to you if you have like a tighter skills in like very related areas than skills in a bunch of non-related areas. Again, if you're spanning Django, Rails, Node, all that stuff, then, you know, there's going to be less jobs available to you because the person who's hiring a Python dev isn't going to be hiring the dev who's a Python and a Node and a Rails dev. They're going to be hiring the guy or the girl who's a Python dev. Do you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I think building these related skills is the most sort of important part, especially because like when you're on that job and you're doing very specialized skills, you're going to be doing a lot of heavy lifting. And we're going to be doing a lot of heavy lifting if you sign up for DevLifts, which is one of our sponsors this week. It was one of our first sponsors. And were they our very first sponsor? I know I ask this question every single time, but
let's see. Let me take a quick look. I'm curious who our very first sponsor was. WP Migrate DB Pro on episode 5 was episode 3. Didn't have a sponsor. And yeah, WP Migrate DB Pro was our very first sponsor. And okay, then FreshBooks came in right after that, which is interesting to see. FreshBooks definitely keeps tabs on the podcast charts. As soon as a new podcast jumps up, I think that they try to jump on it.
Yeah. So DevLifts is just one of those things that they've been friends of the show for quite some time now. I myself am just extremely active, and some programs like DevLifts, which are encouraging you to not only be a good developer, but to get your mind, body, and everything connected right. So with a little bit more about DevLifts is Wes Boss.
Yeah, so DevLifts has sponsored a whole bunch in the past, and they're back for a couple more episodes now just to tell you about sort of two programs that they have. So they've got one new program that's called fit.start, which I love because it's like a dot start. It's like a method on fit, which makes me laugh. It's $19 a month, and it's tailored towards a goal. So if you want to get lean, you want to lose some fat, if you want to do just body weight exercises. So if you don't have a gym that's available to you and you just want to do body weight exercises and get a little bit stronger that way, then you totally can. Or if you want to get strong, if you want to do compound lifts. So I really like that because you can say like, okay, I'm a developer, I want to get fit, but here are my goals that I want to go. It's 100% beginner friendly. Your first week is actually just taking a walk to reintroduce some movement into your life. And then you get your workouts via email. Soon they're coming out with a mobile app, which I think is going to be really cool. One thing I really like about the DevLifts guys is that they obviously are going to give you they're going to talk about your goal, and then they're going to tell you exactly what to do, but they're also going to tell you what to eat, what you should do with your nutritional guide, which is, I think, is probably more than actually half of getting in shape. And then if you, for that fit start, you get, if you use the code Syntax, you get 50% off your subscription forever. And then they also have a premium offering, which is what they've had since the beginning. And this is actually the one that I went through myself, where if you want maximum personalization and maximum accountability, so if you want to talk with them, tell them what's going on with you. So I sat down with them and said, hey, I want to lose a little bit of weight. I want to get stronger because like I was feeling like ever since I got my kids, I was feeling like it was like my back would start hurting in the morning. And I was like, I need to get stronger because I want to be able to throw these kids in the pool like 10 feet in the air, right?
Yeah, right.
Throwing kids in the pool is the best. Anyway, so that's what I told them. I want to lose a little bit of weight. I want to throw my kids 10 foot in the air and not have my back hurt the next day. And then they come back to you with a whole workout a whole nutrition plan, what you should be eating, things like that. You can have check-in video calls with them, have a private Slack channel with them. So if you want to be like, hey, is my critique good? If you want to take a little video of yourself lifting or something like that, really, really hands-on tailored there. If you use the code TASTY, you'll get 50% off your subscription, but that's only for the first 10 people. So make sure that you jump on that as well. So if you are a developer looking to get fit, and I really want to stress that the main thing for me with going through this program was, of course, you lose a little bit of weight in and you start to feel better. But it's more the biggest thing for me was like the mental clarity of just being on, not being in a bit of a fog, a bit of a daze all day long, where if you want to be a better developer, focusing on your fitness is absolutely something that you need to do. So check it out at devlifts.io. And thanks so much to them for sponsoring.
Nice. Cool. Yeah. So I think, part of it so far is what we're getting into is really that we have the person who's collecting really narrow skills and related skills. And then you have the person who's collecting every single skill that they could possibly have. And maybe like collecting all of them isn't the right idea, right? Maybe it's like, it's not like Pogs or Pokemon or something. You don't want to collect all the skills. You want to collect the ones that are all grouped together and related.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you're going to be a generalist with skills that lend themselves together. So I think more and more the whole front end versus back end is kind of shifting or moving, because a lot more logic is happening on the client side. Like it used to be that you would write 40 lines of jQuery for a website, and you would have a couple sliders and whatnot, and it would be okay. But now more and more, the entire like interface logic, everything is happening in the browser in JavaScript. And then you might have some stuff on the server side as well. You might have to spin up a GraphQL server. So I think both of those things are getting a lot more complicated. So if you are going to be having some sort of skills, I think having skills that lend themselves and you be able to transfer from one to another. I love being able to have good JavaScript skills and then jump onto the back end, jump into the front end, being able to understand what's going on over all the spots there.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why people a bit were so confused when Node took off in popularity. Like some backend people were confused because they're like, I don't want to do more JavaScript. But if you think about it, it's one way that you don't have to learn something else. I don't have to become a PHP master now to write JavaScript or backend code, because I can transfer some of those skills and abilities that I had in JavaScript language over to a whole nother area, right? It bleeds that line between this sort of backend and front end. Because before, like backend people were really good at Python or Ruby or PHP or any of these server-side languages that were like sort of the classical way that you worked on the backend. But now since we have access to JavaScript in the backend, it allows this blurring is a word. yeah, it allows this blurring of different topics like that. So again, like you said, the front end back end has become a little bit more broad. So let's talk a little bit about maybe some of the front end skills and some of the back end skills and break them into individual skills.
Awesome. Yeah. So I think with the front end, you can, even inside a front end, you can specialize, because as things get more and more complicated, both on the front end and back end, we're starting to see people specialize in just specific parts of doing the front end. So you could be a specific framework specialist. You could be the React person, the Vue person. You could be really into Angular. You could be, I think even right now, there's a huge market for Angular 1 developers. There's mm-hmm. some of these companies have these massive applications that have no hope of ever being moved off of Angular 1 just because of how large they are. And I often get emails of people asking like, hey, like, who do I hire for Angular 1 dev? Or I need some tutorials for Angular 1 stuff because our application is still on Angular 1 and we need someone to help us out. It's funny, kind of funny, because there's with any language, like even COBOL, there's people that still are really good at COBOL and get paid handsomely because there's not a whole lot of people that specifically do it. So I guess that's a little argument for specializing in a technology that is not so hot.
Yeah, right.
What else on front end? CSS. You could be an expert on CSS. There's certainly a lot of people, like I think of someone like Harry Roberts, CSS Wizardry, who just goes into all of the big companies around the world and schools them on how to structure their CSS, how to best approach things, how it works, right? Like you think CSS, it's easy or something like that. But no, like once you start writing enough of it, you need an expert to really lay things out on how it goes. Other things, performance, animations, there's all these little kind of like tree branches of front end development that you could really just focus in and be the expert on that one thing.
Yeah. And then again, if you're the expert, you're going to get paid to do some really interesting jobs. You hear about people that get hired to come in and evaluate a CSS on a large application and then go in and end up removing, you know, tens of thousands of lines of code just because they're looking at it from a expert perspective and were able to see patterns and stuff that, well, maybe their team wasn't because they didn't have the people who had those hardcore CSS skills, right? So again, that's all big stuff. But imagine you're also the animations person, right? Maybe you go in there and you know how to get 60 FPS animations. You know it inside and out. And next time anyone has a big animations job, that's a whole thing in itself. And especially because, well, the animations in the web in general are just growing constantly. The amount you can do on the web for that sort of regard with normal HTML, JavaScript, stuff like that. And there's a whole other world of things like WebGL and Canvas and writing games in the web tech. I mean, there's just so many things there.
Backend as well, we'll go through this real quick. Web servers, you might be really good at scaling servers, or I think now it's more the people that know how to manage serverless functions, manage boxes on AWS, where you're able to scale up those types of things. Different frameworks on the back end, you might be really good at Express or one of the other node frameworks. Performance, databases, Docker, continuous integration. There's so many different areas on this. And like we said earlier, if you are a specific expert on one or two of these areas, you better bet you're going to be the person that you call to come on over.
Yeah. And I think part of that too is probably making yourself known as the expert of that. Like if you are an expert in so-and-so, I would not be afraid to toot your own horn in that regard and say like, I'm the expert in this rather than I'm a web developer, right? I make this happen. I make 60 FPS animations while I'm in my sleep sort of thing. You want to be able to pump your tires a little bit like that. So,
yeah, I was always afraid of doing that when I was in WordPress. I was like, oh, if I say I'm really good at WordPress, does that mean people are not going to think I'm garbage at everything else? And right. I think that's an important thing is that being an expert at one thing just shows that you're willing to like hold the torch of that technology. And it means that you're probably really good at it. And you likely are also good at other things. And I don't think people are going to think like, oh, he must be garbage at doing something else.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about, like you have like a camera, you have your focus, right? When you should narrow and widen your focus, like when should you widen these things to learn more things? And when should you narrow it to learn less things? When are you too crazy? So you want to widen your focus when you are complacent in your mastery, when you feel like you've learned everything and this like bug for learning is sort of going away and you're not necessarily as excited about the WordPress stuff anymore because you know it inside and out, front and back. There's almost how much more WordPress stuff can you do, right? So at that point, you might be thinking, okay, it might be a good opportunity to learn a skill that's going to make me a better WordPress developer or a better developer in that realm, but not directly necessarily related to WordPress itself. Maybe you're going to learn about server management or something to get your site's performance better. Or maybe you're going to learn about database administration so that you can do better migrations or things like that.
I think any time that you need to get something done is probably the best time to widen your focus and pick something new up. You got to pick the best tool for the job. So whenever you run into a specific problem, you take a step back and say, what would be the best tool to actually solve this problem? Instead of saying, these are the skill sets that I currently have. How can I like mash my skills into making this actually work? So I've talked to lots of people who at conferences who say, yeah, our stack is C++ or our stack is Ruby, our stack is Python, but we have this specific part of our application that does X, Y, and Z, and Node is really good at that. So I talked to someone who ran a company that does captions, and they said Node is really good at streaming in this video. Node is perfect for streams. So when we had to build out this part of our application, we switched to Node for that. Or we're doing a whole bunch of machine learning on generating titles for ads. There's this app I've been using called Let Go. And you take a picture of something you're selling and it will try to like machine learn from that image what it is. And I always thought that's really cool. I was like, maybe they're like database and backend and API is built in Node. But I bet that the machine learning part that looks at an image and figures out what it's in, I bet that's built in like Python or something gnarly like that. And that's that's really good for being able to, I don't really know anything about that, but I bet it is. Python. Doesn't Python sound gnarly?
It's a gnarly name because it's a snake. I mean, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah. I'm going to do it in Barracuda next time.
Oh, yeah. I need a Barracuda language. I mean, another good opportunity to widen your focus is for fun, right? Maybe you just want to get a little bit different perspective on things. For instance, you know, I was bored at my job and I had completed all of my work. That was the hardest part for me of working at an agency that was in a university, was that I'd be like, all right, the site's done. They're like, well, this isn't due for like 8 more months. And I'd be like, okay, great. I guess I'm just not doing anything for 8 months then. Like, give me something else to work on. Because they were just so slow. They were so incredibly slow, right? So in that time, I needed something fun to do that was sort of productive. So I picked up Angular, which led to actually a career, or not a career change, but a job change eventually. But I, you know, at that point in time, I was doing WordPress sites day in, day out. And the whole front-end framework thing was still a little mysterious to me. I picked up that new skill, which was front-end JavaScript frameworks. And then, I mean, I didn't pick it up because I had to. I picked it up just for fun, just to play around with. And I loved working in that sort of environment. So that's ended up where it shifted the general course of my career from that.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about the opposite, which is, do you have a camera methodology here of narrowing your focus?
Well, you just narrow the focus.
Okay. Well,
that's the camera metaphor. Yeah.
I was setting you up for an amazing metaphor. Okay.
There was
when the, should you narrow? Got something better than that. Anyways, when should you narrow your focus? I think when you don't feel control over your skills. I see this a lot, specifically in beginners, but also in existing developers who have maybe been a little bit complacent for a couple of years, and you sort of look up and go, oh, everything is moving. Everything is changing. We have ES6 and React and GraphQL. And like, it seems like almost every single tech people are using has changed in the last 2 years. And if you're sort of feeling that way, I think it's best to pick one thing and focus down on it, because there's absolutely no way that you're going to be able to get good at all of these things. So just pick one thing, double down on it, build a whole bunch of stuff in on it. And I think you'll start to feel a lot better.
Yeah. And it also might be because, like, maybe you've applied and you've gone into several different interviews, and these interviews are for React, and you come in there being like, yeah, I know React, I know Angular, I know Vue. And they're like, okay, well, explain to me this about React. And you're like, about that. So, and then maybe you're missing out on these opportunities because this very specific knowledge you're missing out on. And that's a good indicator that you've become too general in these things. So you really want to then narrow down into maybe just React or whatever you're interested in. Pick one, become a master at it, and then go back into that job interview and see how well that goes for you. It's going to be totally different.
I think another great way is, If you want to narrow your focus, is if you want to become one of these people, if you want to go maybe the consulting or freelance route, where you want to be the high dollar consultant for someone who is good at this one thing. And if you think you can sort of take React performance and run with it, if you think you can be the accessibility person who does these amazing reviews, if you think you can be the CSS code base person, then I think you should take that and run with it. Because if you like the idea of just having a very small, narrow focus and going deep on that one topic, it's absolutely a good spot to be in.
Yeah. And lastly, I had the same one for when to widen your focus, but for fun. Like, if you want to, if you find, again, CSS animations or web animations or any of that in particular, if you find that particularly interesting or exciting, dive into it, go further, go deeper, enhance those skills, and like really, really nail those down, because it's not going to get less fun the better you get at it. It's most likely going to be more fun the better you get at it. So again, if you get enjoyment from one thing in particular, feel free to run with that. Wes just wrote in our notes here, you know what else is fun? I think he's setting me up here for an ad transition. But I think we should be more or less talking about like when you should get some new and fresh skills. And some of those skills that you don't want to necessarily have to rely on is bookkeeping skills and accounting skills. It's better that you get a software that does it for you, or not necessarily for you, but helps you do it in a better way. That leads us to our sponsor this week, which is FreshBooks.
Yes, FreshBooks is the small business accounting software that makes billing painless. So Scott and I both send lots and lots of invoices to various customers, specifically
tons of invoices.
I send them for the sponsorship. I send FreshBooks a sponsor invoice for sponsoring this podcast, which I think is pretty funny that I send it on FreshBooks. Thank goodness I use FreshBooks. Otherwise, that would be awkward. I wonder if they ever decline invoices from other things. But anyways, if you want to send a whole bunch of invoices out, if you want to send quotes out, if you want to manage all of your clients, see where your money is, one of the things I use it the most is figuring out who hasn't paid us yet. So every week or two, I'll go in and then I'll say, like, who hasn't paid us yet? And we'll either use the FreshBooks service, which will automatically remind them that they haven't paid, or you can send a little follow-up email, say, hey, just to let you know, I see that you've seen the invoice, because that's another tricky thing FreshBooks does. It tracks if your clients have seen the invoice, and then you can send them a little reminder saying, hey, make sure you pay this thing. It also does expenses, all of your taxes at the end of the year. You can get a good idea of where your business is at any time from their software. So check it out at freshbooks.com/syntax and use syntax in the how did you hear about us. You're going to get a 30-day unrestricted free trial. Thanks so much to FreshBooks for sponsoring.
Nice. Cool. So I think we've already touched on this a little bit, but I think it's worth elaborating on and this sort of mastering something and then expanding upon that. And I like to like reference this as sort of like satellite skills, right? These sort of skills that are sort of circling around the skill you're learning. For instance, you're really good at CSS. Well, maybe it's time that you, if you would like to grow your CSS abilities, you would take on things like CSS preprocessors and get really good at those, or take mm-hmm. on things like design system and understanding how you can improve your CSS via design systems, or how you can just have a greater handle on the system overall with your CSS by learning about different strategies for these design systems. Or maybe, again, you want to be so good at CSS, and part of that is CSS animations and transitions. You're adding on these skills that are related and are very similar to CSS overall in general. It might even be in the CSS language, but they're going to just build up your further your abilities in that regard. Another one could be like if you are really good at WordPress and would like to remain a WordPress master, you'll know that Gutenberg and some things in WordPress are going React. So maybe you want to pick up React now and get good at React. Or maybe you want to get better at writing WordPress plugins. So you pick up PHP mm-hmm. and you start getting heavy into PHP. Or maybe even it is basic database or maybe it is server management and you want to figure out how to tune your server so that it runs your WordPress sites the best. But again, all of these satellite skills are going to work together in harmony, I have written here, to make you a better developer in that regard.
Exactly. This is how I approach all of my things. Like I don't even know if I'm a specialist or a generalist, but I do know that this is how I tackle learning things. I will take on a technology. I will master it. I will get pretty good at it. And then I'll sort of look up and then figure out what do I need next. And then you learn another thing. And then you look up and you learn another thing. And before you know it, after 5 years, your breadth of skill is very vast and very large. And you all of a sudden feel comfortable at many different technologies rather than looking at someone like me or someone like Scott and saying, okay, well, I need to learn GraphQL, but also MongoDB, but also Express. But then I heard Express is not good. And then I heard this other thing. And then you're like, just get overwhelmed with all of the possible options that you could take, where really you should just focus in on one. And that's even with React, is you should not learn React and Redux at the same time. We've talked about this many times over. You should just learn React. And then look a little bit bigger, then learn some routing, and then go a little bit bigger and learn about state management, and then go a little bit bigger and figure out, how do I hook this up to a backend? And then go a little bit bigger and say, how do I write my own database resolvers? And you get the point, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I think this is just sort of, I mean, I love the little heading you had here, master and expand. And that's what you want to do. You want to focus in, you want to expand, you want to go from there. So I figured I would talk a little bit about my personal journey as like a full stack specialist or a developer in general, because I personally struggled with this topic a lot. And, you know, I don't know if back in one of our first episodes when we did our origin stories, I talked a little bit about this, but I was trying to do everything right. I had a huge issues with narrowing my focus in general. This is before I even decided that I wanted to be a web developer. I was trying, I think my website said that I was an audio engineer, a graphic designer, a videographer, a motion graphics artist, and a web dev altogether. I wound up with all of those hot skills. I wound up being an accountant for a record label. So that's where getting a generalist gets you, because, you know, nobody wants to hire the guy that does all that stuff because, you know, I wasn't good at anything in particular. I just wanted to do all that stuff. So Courtney, my wife, was basically like, listen, like, what do you want to do? Because you're not doing anything. You're doing too many things. You're being an accountant. Obviously, you don't want to be an accountant. So, like, what do you really want to do? And I looked through all my skills, and I did a little bit of an audit to say, like, what are the things that satisfy me the most? And in general, it's the problem-solving aspect of web development. So I said, okay, I'm going to take this and I'm going to go with it. And I focused 100% on web development, not necessarily realizing that it's a gigantic topic, but I just focused on little things like building sites for clients in WordPress, right? So I picked that one little thing, and whether it was WordPress or Drupal or anything like that, I just started focusing on those skills in particular without knowing it, and really like buckled down on foundational HTML and CSS stuff, right? The foundations of the time of good front-end code were essentially being able to do just solid HTML and CSS and a little bit of jQuery here and there, right? So for me, I was always starting with a little bit of a narrow focus and not necessarily realizing it. And then as you grow, maybe you expand a little too much and expand a little too much and you need to focus down. I always found it was really helpful to really focus down on whatever I was doing at any of my particular employers. So my first employer hired me because I was a good junior developer level. Like, I could do HTML, CSS skills really strong, but I hadn't done a whole lot of backend or Drupal or any of that stuff. But at this location, that's pretty much all they did was Drupal. And what they soon found out is that if I would apply myself specifically to Drupal, I would get really good at Drupal really quickly. So I would apply myself 100% to that thing, because that's what we were doing all day at work. My next agency job was all WordPress. So I applied myself hardcore to WordPress and became really good at WordPress. My next job was with Angular. I applied myself 100% to Angular. And then now I have a Node backend and a React frontend, and that's all I really focus on, right? I'm not going off and learning Ruby right now, because why bother? I'm getting better at JavaScript. I'm getting better at React. I'm getting better at all of the stuff I need to, but it's narrowly focused within a group of skills that I need to have right now. So I started out very, very extreme on the wannabe generalist side and found out that didn't work, and narrowed it down to the point where I know what I'm working on and know what I need to be working on.
I wrote a couple notes here, because that made me think about, like, generalizing sort of like you did will help you figure out really quickly what it is that you don't like. So I think, like, if you are just starting out in your career, trying a whole bunch of stuff and sort of generalizing in it is maybe a good idea, because really quickly it will show you what you do and do not like. Like, when I first started, when I went to university, I went to school for technology, right? And that could have been hardware,
technology.
That could have been software, that could have been like technology management, right? Those were kind of the three areas that a lot of people went to focus in on. And then I had a bunch of co-ops in that, and I realized that like I did like software, but I didn't like the specific type of software. I was working in ASP, running a whole bunch of data. I would write all these DB reports. What is the Microsoft database thing called?
Oh, I don't
SQL
know.
SQL Server?
Yeah.
I'm gonna get at that. SQL Server, whatever the Microsoft MySQL thing was. I was writing that and I realized like I didn't like that. And then I did I was writing, I think C++, C something, C sharp.
Yeah. I started with C++ and I hated it. Yeah.
Yeah. I was worried. And I think I hated it because I didn't really know. I didn't have a proper introduction to programming, but I was writing like, it's funny. I was writing like visualizations and where the tanks, I used to work at an oil and gas company and the tanks would fill with gas. And then you'd have to write like a visualization that would show you how full the tanks of gas are. And then do something if the tanks were too high, which was kind of interesting. And I realized I didn't like that either. I didn't like the sort of the culture, and I liked working for myself much better. So then I was like always doing web development on the side. So I realized, okay, I definitely like software and I definitely like doing stuff for the web because that's where I really like to focus on. And then once you get into that, I was like doing WordPress, but I was also doing Drupal and I was also doing Joomla all at the same time. And I realized this is too much.
I haven't heard that word in a long time.
No, there's still a conference for Joomla.
Dope.
Which is really crazy. So it still has like a fan base of people using it. So I figured I'm just going to focus in on WordPress. And then once I had mastered that, I looked around and said, well, it'd be also really nice if I was really good at JavaScript because I'm starting to write a lot more JavaScript on the front end. So I focus on that. And then that led me to doing Angular, and that led me to switching over to React. So that whole like master and then look around and say, what's next, I think is the way that my entire career path has gone.
Yeah. Well, I think that segues really nicely into the next section, which was titled, what should I focus on? Because we both talked about like our little journeys that we learned, like how we learned what we wanted to focus on. And I think this is like a really interesting part of this episode here is like, what is this? How do you figure out this stuff? And obviously, we both sort of did it through a little bit of trial and error. And I think that's like really what it needs to happen. But like, what are some ways you can think about it smartly that you can pick things to focus on specifically if it's not just so I want to waste a bunch of time trying these things or trying to figure this out?
Yeah, I always hate answering these questions to people. What should I focus on? Because they're sort of putting their entire career in your hands.
Right.
And you sort of have to be like, well, little bird, let me push you out of the nest and you will find your way, right? Like any advanced developer, anyone in their career can look back at their career and be like, how did I get here? Well, it was just a lot of stumbling around for many years and I sort of figured it out and that's why how I got myself here. And people who are new to it say like, tell me exactly what to learn and exactly what to do. So these tips now I think are going to be as close as we're ever going to get to telling you exactly what you should do. So first tip, necessity will dictate a lot. What do you need to know right now? So what is it that you're building? If you have a job and are building a specific type of thing in your job, or you're starting to see, we're starting to take on projects that are very heavy in specifically in something that React would help on, that's probably a time where you should learn a little bit of React. Another tip I have is job postings are a great way to figure out how you can stack the deck in your favor. So people are always going to tell you like, should I learn React or Angular or Ember? And the answer to that is it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But what you want to hear is that learn React right now, because that's what everybody's asking for. 6 months from now, it might not be. But if you want to stack the deck in your favor and just get a job, that's a great way to just sort of like keyword clickbait stuff your application where you have it. And then once you're in, you can learn anything you want and you'll be able to transfer those skills from one to another. We've talked about that many times, but stacking the deck in your favor is definitely a way to go.
Yeah. I mean, looking at job postings and knowing what's in demand is such a huge thing. I mean, we just answered the state of the JavaScript survey that comes around every year by Sasha Grief. And I love that survey because, again, it lets you know where the industry trends are headed. And a lot of that stuff ends up being what's hot and what's looking to be hired. And if you're on top of those skills, you're going to be ready and waiting to be hired, right? If you put all your chips into Backbone right now, not to say you won't be able to get a job writing Backbone, because I'm sure there's a lot of apps still using Backbone, right? Or Marionette or one of those. But like, it might not be the smoothest way to find a job, because maybe there's not the most Backbone postings that there's ever been before. Again, a lot of the ways that we sort of did it is we did a little bit of all of this stuff. We did it based on what we needed to do at the time, but we also followed our heart a little bit, which has some caveats here, because I have a funny story about this that actually relates pretty well. For SB04 or Spring Break 04, it was like my senior year spring break, and we were just me and the members of my band, we were just going to drive to the Outer Banks. And I think it's in South Carolina or North Carolina. I'm sorry, Carolinians who live in the Outer Banks. I got that wrong. But we just started driving, and we were maybe like halfway. We were maybe in like halfway there, sort of across the United States. And this is before cell phones that had GPS, or even we didn't have a GPS unit. And one of the members of our band asks the driver, "Hey, what's the ETA, or what do we do next, or where are we going next, or what's the route look like?" And he goes, "Oh, I don't know. I thought you knew." And he's like, "I told you to print out the map." And then you said, "I'm just going to follow my heart." And we all thought he was just joking when he said he was going to follow his heart. And sure enough, we didn't have a map. We had to stop into like a gas station and get a map. I mean, it was like that era of time, because we didn't have any of this stuff. We just assumed he was joking, this whole follow your heart thing. So you want to follow your heart, but you want to follow your heart with some bit of direction, whether or not that is these job postings or whatever. Again, if you see all these job postings for a database administrator and you're like not interested in that, then don't do it just to, you know, shove a square peg into a round hole sort of situation. Again, just, you know, you want to follow your heart, but you want to follow it with a little bit of a map.
Yeah. One more thing at that is that the new hotness is not necessarily what everyone is hiring for.
Yeah.
Because the new hotness is not what people are using in their day-to-day application. I'm just on Indeed.com searching in my province of Ontario for jobs. And if you search REST, guess how many jobs post up? I guess you probably don't know, but 2,700 jobs show up for REST. And if I search GraphQL, guess how many show up?
Oh, I don't know. Not as many.
53.
Yeah.
53, right?
Yeah, that's a
and
big
if you search Angular, 1,000 come up. And if you search React, 1,700 come up. And Backbone, 300, right? Like I know that's not like any solid data and it has nothing to do with supply and demand, but it does give you an idea of what are people hiring for right now, and what should you focus your time on. I think it's well worth your time still learning how REST works, because almost the entire internet is built on that, whereas a very small percentage of the internet is built on GraphQL because it's so new. It's definitely going to go that way, I think. But you definitely still have to think about what are the current skills people are hiring for.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Pretty much a great point to wrap this up with. So you have listed here the final word. So what is the final word? Is that from like...
I wish we had like
Jerry
sound
Springer
effect
or something?
Oh,
no,
I don't know.
I think that was the final thought. That was the
from Jerry Springer. Man, I remember being homesick when I was a kid and watching Jerry Springer and Price is Right. And
oh my God.
What was the other one? Jenny.
Oh my God. We used to, when I was in college, like sophomore in college, we got an apartment, and me and my two roommates were like, we ended up doing like a lunch in Jerry where we'd watch Jerry Springer at lunch. And like the very first time we did it, just because it was like on the TV and we were college students, we didn't change the channel. And then after that, we were doing it ironically. And then it like sort of stopped being ironic and we would just watch the show. It like got too far. So we had to put an end to that one.
That's hilarious. So my final word, I think there's nothing wrong with having a large skill set as long as you aren't mediocre at everything. That's the whole master of none thing. If you're optimizing for hireability, I think having a defined focus on either front end or back end, or even specifically on a specific framework is best, but still an understanding of how the other things work, because nobody wants to hire someone that's really good at React, but has no idea how the whole like request and what headers are. And you still have to understand how does the backend work. And it's worth like taking a couple days out of your timeline and doing a Node tutorial or something like that. Not because you're going to be building full applications in Node, but just so you understand how the whole process of how is this actually working on front end. So ideally, you will have one, very good JS skills, and two, understanding of how things work on both the front end and the back end.
Yeah. Yeah. And my little last note here is that you can do, you can be a generalist and you can be a specialist, either or, right? But whatever it is, you better be damn good at it, right? If you are a specialist, like if you're a specialist, you just got to be good. That's the whole thing. So I have met some what I would consider virtuosic developers out there who would come in and I would talk with them about something and they had a handle on everything. CSS best practices nailed, server side, you know, Rails code nailed. They were absolutely insanely smart. But the fact is that the majority of people are not those virtuosic developers. So if you can be that person and you are that good, and it's not just like an ego thing, right? You are that good, then by all means, you can be good at a lot of things, a lot of even semi-related things. But you will have more opportunities and probably better opportunities if you get really good at anything in particular. So just get good at whatever it is. A lot of people, most developers, I would say, have somewhat large holes in their armor, so to say, of like what their abilities are. Some people just don't, you can't know everything, right? You can't be that master of everything unless you're like a genius. So don't stress about it, because so many people stress out about like, well, I don't know the most performant way to do X, Y, and Z. I'm never going to be good, right? And you can't get wrapped up into that, because nobody's going to know everything or even most everything. So get good at a few things, get good at related skills, and figure out how to transfer those skills from one to another. Yeah, that's it. That's the final word for me. Yeah.
Can we just talk about this virtuosic word for a second? What a word.
You didn't
virtuosic.
Know
I didn't know this work. So I didn't know. I mean, this is our hashtag for today. Virtuosic.
I went to the School of Music, and like I would say that word is more common in the School of Music than other places, because you have people that, you know, were just incredible musicians and they stood out so far from the crowd, but they were oftentimes like prodigies and just incredible at an early age. So
here's the definition. Virtuosic adjective requiring high level of technical skill, impressive, and sometimes flamboyant. Usually used to describe musical performance.
I guess it makes you a diva. I guess your big skill. I didn't know the, you know, sort of flamboyancy or something was a part of that whole deal, but I guess there it is.
Good word. Hashtag, if you got this far, hashtag virtuosic.
Nice.
All right. What about a sick pick today?
Well, I got a sick pick. One of our favorite shows over at the Tolinsky household, which is on Netflix, the fourth season, I think. It's the fourth season, the 2017 season of The Great British Baking Show is now on Netflix. And if you have not watched this show, then you are missing out. The show is so good, man. It's so good. We started watching it when Courtney was pregnant with Landon. And we were just like, because we couldn't do a whole lot, we just watched a lot of Netflix, right? So we watched all of the previous seasons of The Great British Baking Show. And I just love it. And this season, they have some new hosts. One of which, if you ever watched The IT Crowd, which is another brilliant show. Richmond from the IT Crowd is one of the hosts now, and it's so good to see Richmond in this role. His name's Noel. I'm forgetting his name. British listeners are going to be upset with me, but he's a personality over there. Either way, this show is awesome. It's very, very I don't know, it's the right word to say. It's very wholesome.
Virtuosic?
Yes.
No. Oh, wholesome. Yeah.
It's very wholesome. And it's just excellent. You learn about how to bake a good sponge, and it is just great.
There's a Reddit for wholesome memes.
Oh, I love the wholesome. I follow a wholesome memes Twitter account that always makes me feel good.
So good. I got two sick picks today. First,
that's against the rules. You're fired.
So there is an Instagram account called pointless_packaging. And it's right up my alley, because it shows photos of people buying like a kiwi that's been skinned and then put into plastic, or like a banana like wrapped in plastic. Like, it's like nature provides the wrapping for these things. You don't need to put them in plastic. So it just goes through like all of these stupid examples of grocery stores trying to sell you something in pointless packaging. But the kicker, so like that makes me feel really good because I hate pointless packaging myself.
Yeah, that's pretty upsetting.
But the kicker is that all of the descriptions are really, really terrible puns, which I'm a big fan of. So I always laugh when I see that. So it's kind of right down my alley, pointless_packaging on Instagram. And then my second pick is another Netflix show, is Ozark season 2. You ever watch Ozark?
I've been getting more intrigued by the season 2 trailers than I was the season 1. I thought the season 1 I haven't watched either, but like the trailer for season 1 like didn't necessarily pique my interest, and now after seeing the season 2 trailers, I'm like, "Huh, this looks pretty dope."
It's so good. I love it. Maybe it's just because I love the whole like lake and I love like the whole cottage country, which is where it's placed.
Isn't the show like dark though?
Yeah, it is. It is super dark, which is, it's like money laundering and there's murder and there's cartels and just really interesting. It's a good show. It stresses my wife out a little bit because it's a bit much at some points, but a big fan of it.
Dope. Cool. Do you have any shameless plugs?
Shameless plug. I'm just going to give another update on my Advanced React course. I have just yet to record the deployment, which I'm going to be doing today and tomorrow. And then it is done. I'm going to get it off to, if you are in my chat room is an invite only for people who have bought a course. So if you've bought any of my courses, you have a Slack invite. And there is a channel called /advanced-react. And there's 1,000 people in there. I'm going to open it up for like a couple hours and just get a bunch of people going through the course early just to make sure that it's skookum and solid. That's a word I recently learned.
Skookum.
Skookum. What does it mean?
This is going to turn into
I don't think I understand what it means.
Vocabulary show.
What does skookum mean?
Skookum. A person or animal, strong, brave, or impressive.
Oh, skookum. That's not what... I've been people hearing it as in saying like tools are skookum, like this is like a good quality strong tool.
Interesting. So, this is a person or animal. However, yeah. Who knows?
I'm gonna go on Urban Dictionary.
Has been getting a bit of an uptick lately in the usage over time.
Here we go. Urban Dictionary: well built, robust, and durable, especially used to describe power tools. The term gave popularity in industrial circles from a YouTube channel. Okay, that's the channel AVE, Arduino versus whatever evil. He's got the most hilarious YouTube channel, and he like tears apart tools. I've sick picked it in the past, but he says skookum a lot, and I think it's really funny. Anyways, I'm going to be releasing my course a little early. Do not email me, please don't email me asking for early access. I will announce it in that channel just for a couple hours. I just want to get a couple hundred people through it, and if you miss it, you miss it, and then I'm going to kick it out as soon as possible. Some people think that I just have like early access available at any point, but like I have to edit them and export them and put the trailers on and compress them and upload them and get captions. And then as soon as that's all done, I release it to absolutely everybody. So I'm so excited. It's been a long time coming. It will be available at advancedreact.com.
Nice. Cool. You got the URL popping for that. I'm going to shamelessly plug my latest course, which is React Testing for Beginners. It's for people who are afraid of testing, really. People who have never been good at testing or maybe just don't know good ways to practically test React apps. We're using Kenzie Dodd's amazing React testing library along with Jest. And we talk about practical, all sorts of just, it's 100% structured around testing that you can actually use in your code, doing API calls, working with data, working with jargony words, because testing is just filled with jargony stuff. So check it out at leveluptutorials.com/store. You can purchase the series or you can become a Level Up Pro and get access to it along with just tons of other pro series at this point. I need to do an official count because every single month a new pro series comes out and there's 20 plus now and I'm just losing count of how many premium series are available with Level Up Pro. So sign up for Level Up Pro today and you can save a whole 25% if you sign up for the year, which is the best way to do it, in my opinion. So check it out, leveluptutorials.com/pro for that one. And that's all I got. Do you got anything else along with this topic?
That's it.
Cool, man. All right.
Peace.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows.
And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.